We're going to be reading from verses 1 to 10. And I do believe that this story is instructive about winning souls to the Lord. And the Lord adding unto his church, as such as should be saved. Luke chapter 5, verse 1, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done, sure shot up, didn't it? Maybe that's a sign. Here it comes. And when they had, there it went back down. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and pray the Holy Spirit that authored it gives light to us, that it may speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I believe there's something in this story that instructs us about soul winning and catching men. Because Jesus, at the end of this episode, seemed to sum it up to indicate there was a lesson to be learned. He said, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When you start reading the story, I want to bring to our attention, out of all the things that could attract one's attention, if you were there, you were at the Lake of Gennesaret, and they say it's a very beautiful, visible place. There would be much to capture your attention, the beautiful hills, the lake. But what captured the attention of Jesus? And it says, he saw two ships, and he was noticing the men themselves. The fishermen were gone out of them, but they were washing their nets. That's what he was capturing his attention. It wasn't the boat. It wasn't the nature. It wasn't the beautiful lake. It was at a time, perhaps, when things were blooming, but it was the people. And he is aware of you more than anything else. It says in verse 3 that he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. And may I say, the Lord comes to you where you're at, and he knows how to enter into what it is you're doing, what is occupying your life. But he asked him to do something. The first thing he asked him to do, there is no written word exactly what he said, but he asked if he could use Peter's boat. And he was going to use it as a pulpit and to ask him to, if I could use your boat and push it a little away from the shore, and maybe his voice would come across the waters and would help as a multitude of people were there to hear what Jesus had to say, because it says that the people came and they pressed upon him to hear the word. And to solve that problem, as they were maybe crowding him, he was very practical in one sense. He got in the boat and asked Peter, if I could use your boat and use it as a pulpit. And Jesus, I think, is going to reward Peter for Peter cooperating and letting him use his boat. When Jesus got in the boat, he taught the people. That's why they were there, to hear the word of the Lord. It says, when Jesus had got done speaking, he said unto Peter, this is the second conversation, and we have recorded these words. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now this is the second request. The first request was easy. There's no argument or hesitation from Peter to do what Jesus had requested. And now that Jesus is a little ways from the shore, he and the people could hear the message, he now says to Peter, I'd like you to take you now and you get in your boat and go out into the deeper waters and let down your nets. And I want you to notice nets, plural, not net singular. They had four or five nets that this boat had, and let them down for a draught. Years ago, I didn't know what draught meant. I thought it meant like it had rained a long time, like a drought. But it doesn't mean a drought. It means there's a lot of fish. Let down your nets, and you're going to catch a bunch of fish. That's what Jesus is saying. And what was Peter's response? Now remember, the people are there to hear the word of the Lord. And when he asked Peter, which is the word of the Lord, he asked him to let down his nets, plural, to catch a big bunch of fish. And what was Peter's response? It was one that wasn't really exciting. He really doesn't answer like other people answered in their attitude towards confidence in Jesus' word. Now remember, Jesus just said, go out in the deep, let down your nets, plural, and you'll go catch a bunch of fish. And Peter doesn't say, oh boy, what a wonderful word you just gave me. In fact, he seems to have language that kind of wants to challenge the Lord on his instruction that he had given him. It wasn't anything like the centurion who had a servant, and he said, Lord, just speak your word, and my servant will be healed. That wasn't Peter's attitude. He didn't have that level of confidence. In fact, you'll notice that Peter is going to respond the way he did, and the reason he responded the way he did is he's discouraged. And he's been discouraged for the reason he's fished all night, and he hadn't caught anything. And he reminds the Lord of just that fact. And so, you know, it can be discouraging to do everything you know to do and not have any results. And that was the case of Peter. Well, it said all night, that's probably at least 8 hours that he had fished all night. Now, he's a professional fisherman. He probably tried everything that he had known to do, that he had been taught. He was in it as a business. and nothing was working. And what's interesting is when Jesus instructed him to go out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught, or go out and you'll catch a bunch of fish, Jesus wasn't offering a new way to fish. He didn't say, Peter, I want you to try something new. I want you to try something or another place that you haven't tried. I'm sure that all night Peter had tried every part of that lake, had thrown the net every which way you know to throw the net. I'm sure he threw the net shallow. I'm sure he threw the net deep. I'm sure he threw it in this crevice, that crevice. And he had tried it all, but nothing happened. And now Peter is no doubt frustrated. Nobody likes to put energy into something and effort into something and come up with a zero. He didn't catch anything except maybe rubber boots and tires and tin cans and tangled line. But Jesus isn't offering a new way to fish. He just asked him to do what he had been doing over and over. He was simply saying, do it again. And when you have all night to fish, I'm sure, as I mentioned, that he's tried everything and nothing has happened. And Jesus doesn't insult him by offering him, some new way to catch a fish. He just simply said, go do it again. And one of the hardest things to do is when you have tried and tried and tried and nothing seems to be working. So you try again. I will tell you this. I can identify with Peter. I've been here 11 years. And when I came, we had less people than we have. But about 4 years ago, we had a lot more. And now we have a lot less. And I've tried and I've tried. I've done everything I know to do. I've knocked on every door around here. I've gone to the park. My prayer life is up. I've preached the word. I've witnessed everything I know to do. And to say that it doesn't get discouraging at times would be lying. I have been discouraged. You say, what are you going to do, Pastor? I'm going to go out and do it again. I'm going to go out and let down the net. I'm going to preach the word again. And do just what is taught here. And you say, well, aren't you going to try something new? No, don't. If you don't know me by now, you never will. So I don't want to insult you, but don't come around me, insult me as though you got some new formula and you've got the inside scoop and you know how to make it happen. If you know how to make it happen, then you go make it happen. And I don't mean to be belligerent, but I don't plan on changing people. I've been this way for 46 years, and I've preached the gospel, and I have seen it work. I've seen it. It's always working, but just because you don't see the results doesn't mean it's not working. Do you know right at this very moment God is working mightily in you and getting ready to do something that's going to surprise you beyond your wildest imagination? But Peter said something that he said after he expressed his frustration, Lord, we've tried all night. And it didn't work. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. I don't really believe that Peter had a lot of confidence in what Jesus said. I want all the faith hearers to hear this. I want all the Word of Faith people to hear this. Because according to their philosophy and their way of thinking, you better believe or it won't happen. I really don't find in Peter's remarks a lot of faith to the degree that the centurion had or others had. But he did have something, and what he did have was enough to bring the miracle, and that was obedience. And so he said, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. Now, I preached years ago, Jesus asked him to let down the nets, plural. There's probably four or five nets. But Peter, with discouragement and half-heartedness, maybe one might want to read into and you want to be careful, he said, all right, I'll let down the net. God kept his promise. Jesus kept his promise. He said a draught is coming. And so if Peter would have let down the four or five nets, it would have been enough to share the load of fishes into all the nets. But because he only let down one net, it said the net break. And so others had to come to help. And so may we learn from that. But I just want to say that Jesus likened this to winning souls for people. And it is God that is the author and finisher of our faith. It is the Lord that saves. It is the Lord that heals. It is the Lord that builds the church. And it is the Lord that does these things. And so I just am going to repeat myself. What do you plan on doing, Pastor? We just lost another family. Well, at least they didn't leave mad. I'll tell you what I plan on doing. I plan on keep on preaching. I plan on keep on according to His Word. I plan on keep on praying. I plan on keep on smiling. I plan on keep on keeping on, as the old timers used to say, and to obey His Word. And let me just pause for a moment. Sometimes we say, well, I guess all we can do now is pray. As though prayer is something that is last on the list and is a last resort. No, prayer ought to be the thing that you do very first and second and third and fourth and fifth. Pray always. And so may we realize the importance of prayer, and may we also realize that Peter said something. Nevertheless, at thy word. It happened not because Peter had great faith. It happened because God promised it. And I want you to know, sometimes we guilt ourselves thinking, well, maybe I didn't have enough faith. Listen, I want you to focus on your obedience more than I want you to focus on whether you have enough faith or not. Not to say that having faith isn't important, but that also is a gift of grace that can come. I've had God bless when I didn't think He would bless. I've had God not bless when I thought He had blessed. And I've come to learn this. He's in charge. And He knows what He's doing. And He will see to what He has promised. It will come to pass. And so he said, I'm going to do it according to thy word. At least, even though he didn't have a lot of faith, he had enough to say, I'll be obedient and I'll do what you said. And that was enough for God to, even though he wasn't contingent upon Peter, he was going to send them fish whether Peter put out all five or not. He probably didn't have a lot of faith. That's why he only put out one net. And it's very interesting when you read in Luke, the 23rd chapter, and I've often believed these two stories are tied together. It's after the resurrection, Jesus came walking up on the shore and said, children, have you caught any fish? No. Again, all night, caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast the net on the other side. And Peter didn't hesitate this time. Somebody said, it's the Lord. And they immediately put it on the other side. And the Bible brings out this incredible statement. It says there was 153 fish, yet was not the net broken. Now, why would it say the net wasn't broken? Because back here it broke. But this time it doesn't break. And you can figure that out when I'm going to keep preaching His Word. I don't claim to understand it all, but I do believe, folks, If we're going to see the glory of God, let's do it according to His Word. His Word created the world. His Word came upon the prophets. His Word came here. His Word is here. His Word comes by the Holy Spirit. Folks, we can't go wrong if we'll follow Him and keep His Word. Let's stand. So if you're here and you've been discouraged, I have some great wisdom for you. I want you to try again. In John the 12th chapter, you have the story where Jesus said, "Father, glorify thy name." And a voice from heaven came back and said, "I have glorified it, and I'll do it again." There's no end of God's blessings. He can do it again and again and again and again. He's the same God today as He always has been. God will bring the fish. We have that promise. But let's move to your own personal life. Maybe you haven't seen things that you've been wanting to see, and you're discouraged, and you're kind of down. May I just speak into your heart? God will do it. He will do it. You know, Peter was surprised when those nets started breaking. There's been a lot of times God did something, and He surprised me. Well, I'll be. I didn't think you were going to do it. I don't want to take any sense of responsibility off of me to believe His Word. I want to believe His Word. But to be honest with you, sometimes I have doubts. But God is stronger than my doubts. And that's the beautiful thing. He is stronger than your doubts. It's not left up to you. It's left up to Him and His grace and His love, and He will minister to you. Would you bow your heads just for a moment, please? With no one looking around, how many would say, "Pastor, I haven't really shared it with many," or maybe you have, maybe you haven't, "but I have been discouraged. And I'd be lying if I didn't acknowledge it. And I could use some strength from the Lord." Would you slip your hand up? Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, You see these. We can only do what we do, and Lord, we don't want to underestimate and we don't want to overestimate that. But God, Your grip on us is stronger than our grip on You. The promise was given. It was going to happen whether Peter had great faith or little faith. The promise went forth. You do this and I'll do that. And Lord, if we'll seek You, You'll be found. If we'll give, it'll be given unto us. If we'll look to You, You will answer. And Lord, I believe that. And I pray that You bless and help Your people. Could I ask all of you to come this morning and let's just stand in front. It's the Lord that builds His church. It's the Lord that does it. But there is a promise that has gone forth. And I believe that He will do just what He said He would do. You say, "Well, what did He say He would do?" All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. What else did He say He would do? It says the end of the thing is better than the beginning. There are so many precious promises. Well, I want a detailed word. All right, here it is. God's going to do it. He's going to do it. Would you reach over and just take the hand of the person next to you or lay your hand on their shoulder and let's just pray one for another. Lord Jesus, you know the hearts of your people. Lord, there's no Superman, but there's a wonderful Savior. And Lord Jesus, you are the one. And we put our faith and our trust in you. Lord, minister to that lady who is feeling lonely. Minister to that gentleman. Lord, you see our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you strengthen. And may we know that you that has begun a good work in us will perform it. For you have need of patience. After that, you've done the will of God that you might receive your draught. You might receive the promise. But Lord, just in case we're holding back a net or two, let us throw everything overboard, every net we have, because the blessing is coming. And we don't want to lose the blessing and have other boats have to come. Lord, we want to put every net we have over the side. And Lord, you will do it. And you'll do it again and again and again. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and tell him he's going to do it. Wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.